Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with the trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Feel weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Skoona.
It would be a little weird.
Maybe Skoona.
Skoona.
I don't know.
What about Skoona?
I mean, exactly. It could be Skoona. Skoona. I love a good scone. But
perfect. That's a perfect fit, actually. That'd be a perfect
This is spelled like
choice.
Skunk, but instead of a K on the end, it's an A. So maybe Skoona.
Skoona.
Skoona or Skoona.
Oh, God.
Will you start picking
places that we don't have any issues with?
It'd be kind of weird if it was in Reed.
There you go.
I mean, it could be Riyadh.
Actually, it's Riyadh. Rod.
It's Riyadh. Wherever you are.
Well, actually.
Why is John going, well, I'll actually meet there?
Well,
actually, Brian, I was going to hire a coach. I never said it was going to be from a college, a head coach. I never said that.
I said he had college from
a real
serious
quote,
experience.
By the way. Yeah.
I didn't mean that it was actually coaching.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy. Hold on. I need clipboards. Hold on. All right. I didn't have a clipboard. I had to throw a Pip Printing and Signs folder there, but don't worry. I've got plenty of them.
Now you got to go pick it up.
Pick it up after the show. It's fine. I still have my sheet. I still have my sheet right here with all my handy info on it. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Order your coffee from there. They'll ship it right to you. It'll be delicious every morning. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Guys, if you are a business owner and you are a Mississippi State fan, you already spend money on printing. That is part of your monthly budget. Here's a chance to work with a great printing company, one that has 30 years of experience here in this state, and support the Bulldog Initiative without spending an extra dime of your own money. Just call my friend Camden Baker, 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about Pip Printing and Signs on Thunder and Lightning. You want to do business with them. 10% of your sale directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. You can become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra cent. That is a no-lose proposition for you, my friends. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be just clothes. They have an incredible selection, obviously. But if you need something for the house, for your tailgate, for your car, gift ideas, you know, if you need a new tumbler, they've got all that great stuff over at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to find the best meal in town. And if that meal is lunch or dinner or Sunday brunch, it doesn't matter. The best meal is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're a person like me, I eat lunch out almost every day, and I love a blue plate lunch. I love fried catfish, fried chicken. I love it all, and they have the best at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to enjoy a great meal in Starkville, there's no easier way to do it than to go to Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. PriorityOneBank.com, be your guide. Go there, find the location near you, and look at some of the financial services that are offered at Priority One Bank. I think you're going to be surprised, pleasantly surprised, when you see what all Priority One Bank, a community bank that's located here in Mississippi, can do for you and your money. It's a lot more than just checking and savings accounts over there. So when you need to expand your financial portfolio, you want to give Priority One Bank a look. But at the same time, when you talk to them, you're going to build a relationship with a community bank, and you're going to have somebody you can talk to directly and not have to worry about 1-800 numbers and call centers and things like that that nobody wants to deal with. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It's Rumblings Day, Robbie Falk.
It is.
It is. And you know what that means?
What does that mean?
Well, it's Wednesday. You know what that means, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But also, it means that we now have a sponsor for the Rumblings, and we could not be happier to tell you that it is our friends at Superior Catfish. We are now the Rumblings, presented by Superior Catfish every Wednesday here on Thunder and Lightning. What can we tell you about Superior Catfish that you don't already know? We did the catfish tour with them. We brought you their message. There's a reason they're called Superior Catfish. Their product is just better than everybody else's. Great tasting catfish. If your local grocer isn't carrying Superior Catfish, your local restaurant isn't carrying Superior Catfish, then they're not carrying Superior Catfish. It's just that simple. We are so pleased to be back with them. Another catfish tour, perhaps? We shall see.
We hope.
We are working through the details on that. We expect to make an announcement very soon, but very, very pleased to have the good folks at Superior Catfish sponsoring the Rumblings. I had some...
Yes, so pumped.
Not an hour ago. I enjoyed that much. So I'm in a great mood. I'm ready to answer these questions in a very positive...
I have never had... This is a fact. I've never had a bad piece of Superior Catfish.
It's true.
I'm not just saying that either. I literally have never had a bad piece of it.
Yeah. I misjudged where the start of the Rumblings were. Somebody quote tweeted you. I thought that was the start. It is not. So we got to go back.
Hold, please.
I thought we had a lot of questions. Didn't have a lot of questions. I was wrong. We have a lot of questions. Let's get into it.
Should have known better.
I should have. And I should have known when the first one wasn't from our friend Colton Watson. What are your top five most rewatchable games in Mississippi State history? Okay. What a question. This is a show. We could do a whole show on this question. I'm going to give you five good ones, I think. And you tell me if I'm missing one or what, okay? We'll start with women's basketball.
Okay.
Connecticut game.
Mm-hmm.
Very watchable, in my opinion.
Yes.
Mississippi State versus LSU 2014.
Yes.
It's not a classic game or anything, but how can you not enjoy the 2016 Egg Bowl, 55-20? I mean, it's just enjoyable, right? The Mets Hugh Freeze's last game in Oxford, it's fun. Let's go men's basketball. I'm going to go – trying to think of like the 2004. The 2004
Alabama game.
Alabama, yeah. Gotta wait till the end for it to be good. But yeah, that's one. And then baseball, I mean, it's gotta be the national championship game, right? Total domination, start to finish. There you go. That's a five quality games in my opinion.
I would put 13 Egg Bowl over 16 Egg Bowl. I think just for
better game, better drama. But 55. I mean, they beat them by five touchdowns.
No, like if you're just wanting to watch a game where Mississippi State just absolutely obliterates Ole Miss, that's your game.
I got you. I do want to watch that game. I want to watch that game every year, you know?
I would probably watch back one of those South Carolina and state women's basketball games.
The one here?
Yeah, there was two of them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. I think it was the first one that they won, the whiteout.
Yeah, Blair Shaver.
That was the best one.
Huge threes in that game or something like
that. Yeah, when they had Asia Wilson still. Like, that was a great, great ball game. Mm-hmm. Atmosphere was probably the best I've ever seen it there.
Yeah.
And that, like, I would have never thought that women's basketball would produce that kind of atmosphere, but it was rabid.
There. Yeah. It's good choices. Good choices. Let's see here. Johnny Wilson, if in 20 to 30 years, Chris Lamona still has Mississippi State's only national title in program history, does he deserve a statue in front of Diddy Noble? What a tough question. Right.
That is a very difficult question.
I mean, 6 months ago, I would have said, no, he just doesn't. He, you know, get some recognition, maybe a plaque, but a statue, no. But it just depends on this. How does he leave Mississippi State? If he gets this thing turned back all the way back around and, you know, they're back to where they're supposed to be and then he retires, yeah, by all means.
Did he say if he's still here 20 years from now?
No, he said 20 to 30 years from now, if he still has the only national title. So if we have not won another national title, which means he would not have won one either. And that's
That's a very interesting question. You're right. It would have to depend on what he did after that.
Yeah.
Like if he bring State back. They win another, you know, they win an SEC championship or two.
Or just a couple more trips to Omaha.
They go to the College World Series a couple of times. He would have four trips to the College World Series. I mean, I would say probably like Rowdy Jordan, Tanner Allen get one before that. Well, like that picture of them walking off the field together for the last time at Duty Noble.
Yeah. I don't know. If we could find a picture of the three of them, they would deserve it. But I don't know. I don't know the answer. I feel like the answer, if his tenure ends well at Mississippi State, and look, very few tenures get to end well, right? Hardly anybody gets to go out on their own terms. It just depends on what, you know, if let's say State were to collapse this year and he gets fired, then no.
Yeah.
But if they get back to the tournament this year and then over the next 5 to 10 years that they're a tournament team and there's a couple trips to Omaha in there, then yeah, you could see that. I could see that.
I'm on the record. I want him to succeed and get back because that, like, I don't want him to be remembered by this fan base as like he was just a guy that sat in the dugout and the players ran that team.
Right.
Because I really do think that he was a massive part of them winning the way they did in 19 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
The moves he made almost always worked. The team was you know, really tight. They were really strong. I thought he managed that really well. I don't want the memory of Chris Amonis here to be. He was just a guy that stood around and how people say about him, like sits on a bucket or whatever, because he deserves more credit than he gets on that. So hopefully he can turn this thing around.
Let's see here. Next question. Brick Thomas. I'm only 18, but I've seen baseball win a national championship, and I've also seen Mississippi State in the college football playoff. Number one in the college football playoff poll, I guess is what you're trying to say, in football. If you think one of these things will happen again, which do you think it'll be? Number one or a baseball championship? I would put baseball championship way, way ahead of being number one again.
Yeah, it's just going to be tough for them to accomplish that again. It was just such a stars aligning thing. And another thing about that is they played three top five teams in a row, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or top 10 at least.
Well, they were top 10 at the time that State played them, yes.
Yeah, so it was the way that the schedule played out, you know, all three of those teams were definitely not as good as they were billed to be. But at the time, you played LSU, Texas A&M, and Auburn three straight weeks, and they were top 10 teams. And so I guess the view of that was Mississippi State just beat three top 10 teams in a row, so you just shot up the rankings. It's going to be tougher to do that too, but it's also, you know, Mississippi State in this landscape, it's just going to be really difficult to get to that. So, yeah, I agree. Because this team goes to Omaha fairly consistently.
Yeah.
They've been to Omaha every single decade since the 70s. So they're going to be in position to win a national championship again.
Dylan Newell asks, rank the following from least to most confidence in your ability. Calling an offensive drive to score against a Peter Sermon defense, calling a defensive drive to stop a Barbe bomb offense, or coach a lineup to beat a Fox Hall coached pitching staff. I could easily call the ball plays and score on a Peter Sermon defense. When I say easily, I mean easily do it.
No, there's no doubt.
You give me I just need a regular above average college offense, and I will score at will.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
Yeah, that's an easy.
Arkansas scored on every single possession in that game.
Yeah, that was
16.
That game stands out to me for one reason. Nick Fitzgerald was personally responsible for 6 touchdowns in that game and lost.
And by lost
16, by 16 points.
The offense was great.
Yeah, it's fine. It's great. Yeah. Papa Crawdad asks us, better career, Al Snow, Raven, or Dean Malenko? What a great
question. The Iceman.
Malenko got to be a horseman, but he was like in the absolute dead last horseman, and they didn't really do anything with him. So
he just had no character. You know, the best angle he ever did was with Chris Jericho.
Yeah. I think the answer
I think it's probably Al Snow.
Okay.
He was super over with the head gimmick.
He was. So was Raven, though.
Well,
Raven,
yeah,
had
but
a career at a big promotion than either one of those guys did too.
But Raven, when he came to WWE, was never as over as Al Snow.
But he was over at WCW.
He was in ECW.
Yeah, and ECW. I mean, plus the
but Al Snow was too.
He was the Raven Tommy Dreamer angle is an all timer. It's so good.
It is, but it was in a Malenko much smaller. I think it's Al Snow because Al Snow also was very big in developing.
It's a tough enough thing too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, tough enough, and now he runs the promotion OVW.
That's a good point. I might. You might have changed my mind. That's a good call.
I think Al Snow's job squad gimmick was bigger than Raven.
Okay.
My opinion.
Right. John asks us, Robbie, what's the biggest blowout you've seen in high school football, baseball, or basketball? If you just got one that stands out, what is it?
Oh. You know, Starkville beat, like, Greenville or something. I think 73-6 or something one time, or 73-3. That might be it.
Yeah.
Baseball, I think East Webster played like Greenville O'Bannon or something. Is it Greenville?
It's Greenville O'Bannon, yeah.
So the school tried, it was first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
And they tried to get, the coach tried to get them to play a doubleheader to go ahead and get the series over. It happens all the time in the first round. Like a school from the Delta plays a 2A or 3A team. And they usually play a doubleheader just to get it over with because you know you're going to get killed. And so they tried to play that doubleheader, and the O'Bannon coach said no. And they're like, well, you know, we'll give you the gate. Like we'll split the gate, or you can even have the gate or whatever. We just want to get it over with so, you know, we can be done or whatever. He said no. So they beat them. I think it was like 40-0. Like they couldn't, like they had to play it out. They had to play out three innings, I think. And it was just unmerciful. Like it was just an absolute beatdown. Then they had to go to Greenville the next day and play them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that was who they were playing. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive it was like 40-0 or something. It was awful. And then basketball, I didn't see this, but it was a team I was covering.
Mm-hmm.
It was Choctaw County. And I don't know if you know him, but great coach Chris Pettit. He was at Houston, at Kosciuszko, I think. He's from Kosciuszko. He's at Houston. He's at Choctaw County, and he's done an amazing job at Choctaw County. But he's one of those people, like, if he doesn't have his team, he doesn't care. Like, he is going to play. And the football team was playing in the playoffs at the time. So he had, like, six players on the team. His best players weren't out there yet. Mm-hmm. And he went and played West Point.
Ooh.
In the, like, first or second game of the season. They lost 96-8.
Gosh, dog, man.
And this team ended up going to Jackson. They went to the Final Four.
They had the full team? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that was like his first or second game at Choctaw County, and he was like, "Man, we're not gonna cancel the game."
Yeah. Football. I'm trying to think of like my own personal experience. We beat. I mean, not a huge score. We beat Bogachita my senior year, 42-14, but it was 42-0 at the half. Like, I was a senior, and the first thing when we got to halftime, coach said, "Total all the starters, take your pads off." It's like, you're not going back in. I begged for a carry. I was like, we will never get another chance. Let me carry the ball one time. Wouldn't let me do it.
Go ahead.
I don't have a good high school baseball one. But basketball, when I was I didn't play basketball. My sophomore year, St. Al played Durant.
Oof.
Durant had a couple of guys by the name of Horatio Webster and Dietrich White on the team.
Oh, my gosh.
Final was 108-54.
Yikes.
You talk about score at will is what Durant did in that game. So
I remember whenever Starkville won the state championship in 2015, and it was either like early in the season or middle of the way. Ricky Woods like had to find a team for homecoming, I think.
Yeah.
And there was like nobody available. They ended up finding this team. I think it's in Memphis or outside of Memphis, Kip Collegiate. It's in Tennessee somewhere.
Okay.
And so, you know, you're thinking, yes, in Memphis. You're thinking, okay, you know, Memphis area school, they're, you know, probably a prep school, but they should be competitive because they had some good teams up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful. I think they ended up like winning 48-0, and Starkville was very kind in that game, but it was like 30-0 at halftime. And I remember specifically Kobe Jones was tweeting from the locker room.
Oh man.
Like he got in the locker room and was like, man, this team sucks.
That's great. I saw
and then, of course, like they played like two drives and then they were out.
Yeah. I saw Starkville play Murrah
when
Malik Deer was there and he was hurt. So they couldn't really use him. And I forget what the score of that game was, but it could have been like 75-0. I mean, they were just.
That was probably that year, wasn't it?
Might have been. Malik Deer's senior year, he would have signed. That would have been 2014.
That team that was even better than the 2015 team.
Yeah, they were good. They were real good.
They lost one game. They killed everybody. They beat them 31-6 that year. I think they took it easy on them.
I remember being at that game. I was like, Starkville is just playing with its food out there. They beat West Point AJ Brown's senior year the next year and just killed him. That was the game where I had never seen AJ Brown. I'd heard about him, and I've talked about this a few times. He ran a play where he ran a slant. He took one step, he pivoted, and somehow in that pivot, he created 6 yards of space. And I just looked at it, I was like, he's gone. And he caught the ball, and nobody touched him. And I was just like, that is the greatest high school football player I've ever seen in my life. He is incredible, and he was just a fantastic player. All right, let's move on. Also from John, getting back to John, have y'all ever loved something as much as Teddy Long loved a tag team main event for SmackDown? Let me tell you something, player.
Hold on now, player.
You're going to have to team with The Undertaker.
This is now a tag team match.
JBL just looking around like, what? Yes, I don't think I have loved anything in my life as much as he did. Steve Mormon wants me to do the ad read for the Mississippi Beef Council as the American Dream.
Yes, please.
So do I do that when I do the ad read, or should I just go ahead and get their ad read done now since we're at that point in the rumblings?
Go ahead and do it.
Right now. Daddy, let me tell you now, the American Dream loves a lot of things, but there's nothing he loves more than a nice medium rare steak, Daddy. Me and Nikita Koloff went out the other night in Atlanta, Georgia. We saw the Ninja Boy Ric Flair eating a steak. I said, I want a bigger steak than Ric Flair. So they brought me a 72-ounce porterhouse, Daddy. I ate it all, baked potatoes, salad, sides, and a big piece of cheesecake for me, Daddy. So, Jack, if you're going to be getting to the grill this weekend, the American Dream says the only way to go is with beef. Beef is what's for dinner, Daddy. That's courtesy of American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
All right. Willie Dizzle asks, are you a majority fork or spoon guy? Are we cheating ourselves as a civilization by not having actual spork silverware? The spork should be normalized. You should have
yes, it should
in your silverware drawer. I'm more of a fork guy.
I am too.
Only time I really get a spoon out is for cereal and ice cream.
Yeah, like I've seen people that are using forks using spoons for like pie. I'm a fork guy for pie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fork for cake, fork for mashed potatoes, fork for rice. Yeah. There. All right. Good call. Let's see here. Dalton Lee. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
I was hanging out with Donald Trump the other day. No, that's not what it says. I hurt my wrist playing basketball back in 2023, and it's still aching. What felt like a sprain in my 20s now feels more serious at 30. I have yet to go to a doctor despite my wife telling me to. What are good men's health tips as I get older? Everything hurts.
That's true. Even when you sleep.
Yeah. I've said this many times on this show. I sleep at least 1 hour, maybe two a night in my recliner because it hurts to lay down for too long. It hurts to lay down in the bed for too long.
It hurts to live, basically.
It does. It does. See if I can get it. I can pop this joint almost in every hour in my thumb.
I hurt to live every day.
Yeah, it just hurts
mentally and physically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. The mental pain is so much worse. It's just so much worse. Especially you're married. Oh, it's just awful. Let's see
here. You got to watch Mississippi State sports and follow it always. Jesus.
Oh. Pat in Paris asks us, if Mississippi were to change the bylaws and allow universities to offer lifetime coaching contracts, what would be your requirements for each of the big three sports? I would never sign a coach to a lifetime contract under any circumstances.
No. Never works out.
I mean,
John Calipari got signed to a lifetime contract. How'd that go?
And same with Bill Self. He's on a lifetime deal, and they're like, if we can't go to the first round, you know?
That's silly. That's a silly deal.
Exactly. Would you rather purchase a vehicle new, but it's the base model, or buy used that has a luxury package? Which was cheaper? Which one was cheaper? That's all I care about. Spending less money. It's just a car, guys. It just gets you me.
I actually did that. I mean, I bought a brand new truck. It was the base model F-150, but I wanted a brand new truck. So I didn't go after, King Ranch that has 100,000 miles on it or whatever. I got the base model new. I didn't really need all the bells and whistles. I just wanted a truck.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I would always say, what's the better deal? I want to get the best. Last one here is for you, Robbie. Robbie, how long and often did you water your sod? We just had 30 rolls installed and have been instructed to water it twice a day. Do you know any rain dances that work?
Well, you're in much better shape than I am as far as when you rolled that sod. Just for the way everything worked out for me last year, I did it in the absolute worst possible time, other than maybe the winter or something, to have it. Like the best time to do this is middle of spring. You know you're going to get a lot of water on it. It's going to take really fast. But you also want it to be warm enough to when it takes it, it kind of takes hold, because if you got Bermuda, which I'm guessing you did, it likes a lot of sunlight, rain's good for it. It'll take pretty quick right now in the spring. You're going to be fine. I got it at the end of June. And last year was kind of an unusually wet summer. Like the middle of June, it was raining every day. And I was thinking, this is great. It's going to rain. It's going to be really hot. We're going to be good. Instead, the day I got it rolled out, it stopped raining for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally watered every square inch of 1,000 yards of sod. That's front, side yard, backyard, 1,000 yards of it. I watered every square inch of it like all day. And I went and bought like a sprinkler system, bunch of hoses. I had to go down the driveway because, I have a relatively long driveway, and thank God I have a spigot out there where I can hook up a hose. I had to literally, water the culvert area, so that would take – it took me, a month of watering that for it to take, but I might have, a couple of sections where the grass is not super green right now, so it worked. But I think you're going to be okay, Pat, and I would just keep a lot of water on it. Don't think that you're going to overwater it or anything like that. Just keep a lot of water on it. Keep it soaked, and you should be good. But I think the rain is going to help you in the spring because, I mean, it's going to be wet for the next, few weeks or so.
Yeah, I agree. He's at a good time.
You're fine.
All right. Don Collins, who is just a terrible person, maybe the worst person I know.
What?
He worse than Corey Pilkington.
What'd he do?
He's just an awful human being. But he has a question. What's the worst food you've ever had to pretend to like in order to fit in or please others? I have a great answer to this.
Okay.
So one time I went to visit, I was dating this girl, and we went to her home. Her mom made the shepherd's pie.
Oh.
Robbie, this meal might be the reason I still have high blood pressure. I have never put more salt on food in my life trying to do something with that shepherd. It was disgusting. I ate every bite of it, though.
I don't know. I'm one of those people, I'll just say I'm just not a big fan of this and that. I'll straight up say it. I get that. I don't eat stuff just to make people happy.
Your girlfriend's mom, you're trying to impress.
I don't know. I don't know if I've had a situation like that.
You're a lucky man. Speaking of food, let's look at this here. Gavin King, grade my Super Bulldog weekend food lineup. Gas station chicken, Bulldog burger, donut bread pudding, an OB's catfish platter, some Muscadine Ripple ice cream from the Mace store, Rosie Baby's crawfish, the guest room stuffed pancake, and Two Brothers barbecue grilled cheese. What a weekend.
Can you go higher than A plus?
100, whatever, 100. He understood the assignment, as the kids say.
I don't know how much sometimes somebody will say they have like a 4.5 GPA, and I'm like, how is that possible? Because I always thought 4.0 is as high as you get. Gavin has a 5.0.
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking advanced classes here. So, also want to thank you for going to Obie's, because that is superior catfish that you're enjoying.
It is. Obie's and Little Dewey.
Yeah,
go check them out.
Here in town, yeah. Blake Thompson asks us, from watching the football staff and team the last 5 months, what about the way this staff is organized and operates gives you confidence going into the Libby era? What's different? What stands out about them? I think the words he just used, organized. They seem organized. It feels like that they have a plan and they're executing that plan, especially on the offensive side of the ball. People I've talked to over there, sources, if you will, have said basically like this team right now is better than it was at any point a season ago.
Yeah.
Like right now, if this year's team played last year's team, this year's team would win, and they haven't even had the season yet. So they just you have a coaching staff, especially again on the. I don't know enough about the defensive side, although I know Turner, and I feel like Hutzler, having worked under Saban, is going. I mean, I feel like he understands what he's doing at least. It just hasn't paid off in recruiting yet. But offensively, I mean, they're just miles, miles ahead of where they were a season ago.
No doubt. You can see it. I mean, it's so easy to see. This offense has a plan. It looks like it's fluid. And also, Jeff Lebby just continuously going after more players, more playmakers. He's got Devon Booth on campus right now trying to – still a running back. Everybody was kind of scared about the running back situation because they lost Amos and they weren't able to get Martinez. And then you come back and you have a guy that's maybe not just as good as those players, but he's a productive back that I think can really help you. They just have a plan. It just seems like the offense is ready to go. And the defense is completely different. We just don't know about them. But I'm kind of the opinion this day and age, whenever you're – watching the evolution of college football, I would much rather be really, really good on the offensive side of the ball than really, really good on defense. And
yeah.
The defense, obviously you want to be good on both sides. But for right now, I'm good with the situation that they're in, and we'll reassess next year. But I like this offense, and I like kind of the way that he runs things. The spring game was well run. The players talked about how much they love spring practice. Right now, it looks like he's got a program. He knows what he's doing. So I like it.
Trey O'Brien asked us. I'm sorry, no, I missed one here. I'm sorry. We'll go back. Sean Brown, I embarrassed my daughter Emily at Cracker Barrel when I ordered the fried chicken in Brian's fried chicken voice. What is a dad thing that you do that embarrasses your daughters? Literally everything I do.
Yep.
Literally everything is embarrassing to them. I cannot walk out of the house without being like, Dad, no.
If you drive up to the school and pick them up, that's probably embarrassing.
That's not right, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to embarrass my daughter greatly whenever she gets older. Right now, she's happy.
Yeah, she's too young. Wait till she's teens, then yeah. Yeah.
But she's kind of started to get embarrassed at certain things.
Wow.
Like her, like she'll have a teacher or coach or something call her by the wrong name, and she won't correct them. So my wife has made a shirt now with her name on it.
Uh-huh.
That embarrassed her a little bit.
I got you. What you need to do, Robbie, is when you do something and she acts embarrassed, continue to do that.
Yeah.
Do it more often if possible.
Well, that's how I handle life. If anybody's annoyed by something that I do it more. When people complain about We talk about wrestling too much, or we're complaining about this and that. Will y'all please stop talking about logos? That's me. We double down on that.
Double down, yeah.
If you think you're telling us what to do and we're going to back down, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So this, I got one. This is more, you know, it's more of a husband thing. But today, my wife and I were talking about, my mom is considering moving up here, right? So we're talking about getting an apartment, right? And I was like, what apartments are near us? And she's like, Jennifer's going through them. And I was like, what are those on the one there on, like, it's right by the school, right by Armstrong. She's like, I know what you're talking about. I was like, yeah, what is it? And I know what the name of it is. The whole conversation is me setting up this punchline. I'm like, what is it? It's something corner. And she goes, oh, Gaslight Corner. I was like, no, it's not. That was the whole joke.
Oh my God.
I did all of that just to set up that punchline.
As you should. Does she know? Does she realize it immediately?
As soon as I said that, she just looked at me like, if murder was legal,
shut up,
I'd kill you right now. So I was like, all that work just to get to that punchline. It was totally worth it. Let's see here. Now we're near Trey O'Brien. Seeing such a massive turnaround with this year's baseball team from the previous two, what's the biggest difference and what new player or coach has provided the biggest impact regarding intangibles? I mean, I think it's obviously Parker. I think Parker has fixed the pitching staff, and that has provided the confidence to everyone else. Because you talked about it a lot last year, Robbie, when you don't trust your pitchers, when you know, like, when you come to the ballpark, you're like, we're going to have to score 14 or 15 runs today to win. You can't win like that. You know, the hitters didn't have any confidence in the pitchers or that the fielders, I mean, the hitters are the fielders, but they didn't have any confidence in themselves to keep runs off the board. Now they do. Now I think Mississippi State knows they can win a game where they only score 5 or 6 runs. Last year that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and you obviously still have some issues in the bullpen and everything, and this is a process. I mean, we said if Mississippi State could just get to down to 5 runs with their unrun average, I think that would be really competitive. Well, they're like top 5 in the league in ERA. Mm-hmm. So this is, I mean, the jump they've made already has been incredible, and you're sitting there going, you don't feel great about the bullpen, but they do have some good pieces there. They're a 4.20 earned run average. I mean, they've dropped that earned run average by 3 runs. It's incredible. It's almost been, you know, twice as much as what they were last year. So they have some options there. You still don't feel great about the bullpen, but you've certainly seen some great things in the back end from Tyler Davis and Tyson Harden and when Brooks Auger's back there. So they've made a huge jump there.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see here. We'll do one more, then we'll do the rest of the ads. Josh Patrick, do you foresee a salary cap in the future for NIL to try to ensure competitive balance? Yeah, it's going to be something like that where they're like, you can spend this much.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to be, Robbie.
And it'll be like a violation if you overspend.
And it's going to have to be a real punishment. It can't be you lose 5 visits or something. It's going to have to be like, if you overspend, it's a 1-year mandatory suspension of the football program. It's going to be like, if you cheat, you are going to not play football next year.
Yeah. I just wonder.
I'm doing it.
I wonder if they ever will go through with that, with like a competitive balance thing, because the powers that be, the elite programs.
Like Russo?
Exactly.
Okay.
Like Russo and Jeff Jarrett.
And Ferrara?
Yeah.
The problem is, because then you get right back to where you were, right? Like, everybody has the same money, okay?
Yeah.
But then it becomes, okay, who has the best facilities? Who has the best coaching staff? You get recruited for the reasons you're supposed to be recruited.
I would love that. I don't know if that'll ever happen because the Alabamas and, those people of the world, but I would love that. I would love a more competitive, here's the thing. I think right now it's probably more competitive than it has been.
It is.
Maybe not at the very top, but in the middle, you're starting to see more teams get in the mix. A Missouri that's decided that they want to spend some money, Ole Miss, teams like that are spending money and they're becoming more competitive when usually they would just have, like, every now and then they'd be able to compete.
Yeah.
Like Mississippi State, this could be a more competitive environment for them. If people would truly invest in NIL and that they would really start spending money the way that a Missouri or Ole Miss is.
Yeah.
So it is a more competitive right now, atmosphere, but it's still, I think, the haves and the have-nots at the very top.
I agree. And that's probably never going to change.
Yeah.
But like you said, you can jump up. He can have a year like Ole Miss has had these past couple of years where they jump up into it. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. We just talked about one of our listeners going there yesterday. We just found out another one went this for Super Bulldog weekend. Everybody knows that Two Brothers is the place to be. The food is great. The people are even better. And what a great location as well. To sit out there in the middle of the Cotton District. When the weather's nice, there's just no better spot in Starkville than Two Brothers Smoked Meats. And, of course, you put that with some smoked wings or a prime rib sandwich, and, buddy, you just can't go wrong. Enjoy smoked Southern soul food here in Starkville at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. When you need new technology at your business, give them a call. And then if something goes wrong and you need a repair, if you need to have somebody come out and have a look, well, that's just a 601 number, not a 1-800 number. And that's somebody on the other line, not a call center, not a your business is important to us. Please press 1 to speak to a representative. It's just Mississippi people doing business with other Mississippi people. And that's how I like to do it, and I think that's the way you want to do it too. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. The good folks over at Maroon & Co. want to see you this weekend. Mississippi State baseball, softball going on, of course, the Starkville Derby. But you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. before you head out there. Use the promo code THUNDER15. That's 15% off any regular price item. Some exclusions do apply on their incredible selection of Mississippi State gear with all the logos that you want. Plus, there's the Bulldog Initiative clothing out there that all the coaches are wearing. If you want to get that stuff, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. Before you head to Duty Noble this weekend, head to Maroon & Co. All right, Don Collins, back with another question. I guess I'll answer it. If all of your friends jumped off a bridge, would you follow them? Don, what would you know about having friends? Are you just like trying to find out what it's like to have a friend? Friends don't jump off bridges, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
How do you know this guy?
Oh, he's friends with Brooks Roberts. He's not friends with. He knows Brooks Roberts and that crew. And he look at him. He's mentally imbalanced, these questions.
What'd he do to you?
What? He didn't do anything. He just is. This is how he is.
We had to have done something. Taking this guy personal here.
It's not personal. I mean, look,
just business.
Hey, Robbie, you got a nice beard, right? That's not personal. It's the truth. You got a nice beard. You know, hey, that's a nice house. You have a nice house, Robbie. That's not personal. It's just I'm just making an observation that's truthful. So when I say Don Collins is a terrible person, I mean, if the truth hurts, I'm sorry. I can't help you with that.
Okay.
Let's move on. I'm not answering his third question. You only get two. Broken Fairchild, rank these Little Debbie snacks, cosmic brownies, Swiss rolls, nutty bars, oatmeal cream pies, zebra cakes, others not listed above. Well, first and foremost, I think Robbie would agree. The number one Little Debbie is the Christmas tree cake. But since it's seasonal, we will not rank it for these purposes.
Well, it's technically the zebra cake, isn't it? They're basically the same thing.
Kind of the same thing, but because you get more cake with the Christmas tree cake, it's a little bit better.
Would you, if you rank that there, and this is what we're listed, would you rank the zebra cakes number one because it's similar?
I love zebra cakes, so yeah, I would. I love zebra cakes. Here's the Hey Dad ranking of this group. It's zebra cake, oatmeal cream pie, Swiss roll, cosmic brownie, nutty bar. I'm not a big nutty bar guy.
Oh, I love the nutty bars.
It's not my favorite.
That would be right underneath oatmeal cream pie for me. And then Swiss rolls are last.
Don't like Swiss rolls, really. I love them.
No, I'm not a big Swiss roll guy. What's another that's not listed?
Shortcakes.
Those are good.
What about fudge rounds?
Fudge rounds.
No? Star Crunch?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, Star Crunch is on there.
Okay.
Star Crunch would be ahead of Swiss Roll and Cosmic Brownies.
Did you see that Saban said that Little Debbie has never once reached out to him to give him like a free box of oatmeal cream pies?
I did see that. That's
all
crazy.
The publicity that he gave them.
Crazy.
They never once.
Well, he is now.
Sent a free box. That's incredible.
They will now.
Yeah. If you could be a summer Olympian in an event that wasn't track and field, swimming, or gymnastics, which event would you compete in? Now, here's my question. I need you to clarify for me, Robbie, since Brogan's not here. Are we saying that it's just me as me, or am I an Olympic caliber athlete in this scenario?
I think you have to be to qualify.
Then it's easy. Basketball.
Yes.
That's the easiest question ever, because that means I'm in the NBA and I make like $20 million a year.
Yes, that's accurate.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. Let's see here. This is where Jimmy Bell decided to jump in the portal.
Correct.
I tell you what, that I just don't. Here we go. Our buddy Nathan Kelly. You have a seat to use the bathroom, and you immediately realize you don't have your phone. Do you get up and get it, or do you take one of those prehistoric hoops? Hashtag O'Doyle rules. I keep a book in my bathroom just for this reason. It's a book I've read a bunch of times, but it's a good book.
Back in the day, you would have to read the shampoo bottle or something like that.
Oh, pyrethosamine. What does that do, I wonder?
We always, in my house, we always had magazines, and I had, Mississippi State-related magazines in there, recruiting articles, stuff like that I would read.
There you go.
Yeah, like now you cannot go to the bathroom without having your phone.
Yeah.
You've got to have your phone. That's when I look at Instagram and all that.
There you go. Brad Baxter asks us, how long do you think Dave Van Horn and Arkansas have been practicing that outfield decoy play? That thing was a thing. That was a thing of beauty. Most perfectly executed deke I've ever seen.
Very well coached program. That's definitely been practiced at some point.
Yeah. Let's see here. Steve Mormon wants our first and last live concerts. His first was Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton at the Mobile Civic Center.
We were asked this last week, I think the first one, but not the last one.
The last one for him was Casey and the Sunshine Band at the Gautier Amphitheater. All right, so what was your first one? Your first – now, for the purposes of this event, it's got to be an arena show, all right? We're not talking about you were at a bar – and saw this band. It's got to be a concert that you bought a ticket for.
Yeah, I think I said it last week. It was like Audio Adrenaline or Third Day. It was a Christian band.
So I said last week was I saw Kiss and the reunion tour at the Superdome. Was my first concert.
Yeah.
What was your last concert? You went to see Journey and Toto.
Journey and Toto.
Okay. Mine was the Foo Fighters. I saw them at
my next one will be Hardy at Duty Noble Field.
When is that?
September 13th, I think.
So it's the 13th? So you're going to do two concerts in like 5 days.
Yes, sir. I have Hardy and then Creed. Yep.
That's going to be fantastic.
Creed is on Monday.
It's on a Monday, yeah.
And Hardy's on Thursday. Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a run there.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right, the outlaw Josie Schmales. Okay. What's going on here with this question? It's a wrestling question. I don't quite understand it. I don't know who Club Pro Guy is. Basically, he's asking about Chris Jericho and what he's doing right now. I think they're trying to make Jericho a heel, and they've done it, but he has the wrong kind of heat.
Yeah.
People want him to not be on the TV screen anymore.
Yeah, I think people are kind of getting tired of it. I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to, like, make the young talent and stuff, but I think people are kind of over it.
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, like, some of the things, like, some of the people, like, Ricky Starks beat him and nothing really happened.
Yeah.
Christian Andretti beat him and nothing happened.
Nobody ever, and, like, the Daniel Garcia stuff, like, Daniel Garcia still stuck.
Yeah, all of those guys from the Jericho Appreciation Society, none of them became main event guys.
So. No. He's trying to do something, but it doesn't really work.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorites of all time.
I know, but it's just right now it's not good. John Landry, what non-champion in the WWE would y'all want to see win a belt? Punk.
You want to see him win another one?
Yeah, I want Punk to beat Cody Rhodes and take that title. Yeah,
it'd be a fun storyline.
It'd be great. Yeah. Let's see here. CJ Lunsford asks, has Lamonis done enough to secure his job for next year? And if not, how much more do we need to see? It's totally secure.
He would have to lose like the rest of his games.
At a 12-9, he would have to finish like 13-17. And not get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That's done. Jay in Baltimore, sounds like Mississippi State baseball needs to find a way out of a upcoming midweek. What's the best or worst lie or excuse you've ever used to get out of trouble or avoid something? Not a lie, but my wife's grandfather passed away 10 minutes before I was leaving for Baton Rouge to go to a game once, and it was the one that State lost 51-0. So, thanks. Appreciate it. Didn't really know him that well, so it wasn't a big loss.
Dang it.
I didn't know him.
I've never lied. I've never lied before.
All right. Okay. Okay now. All right.
I'm not a liar.
Okay now. Okay.
When have I lied to you?
I don't know. To me, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm trying to think, do I have like a really good one? Oh, me and Ryan Nelson. Ryan, the statute of limitations is up on this. We're okay. We went to a wedding.
Kind of like the statute of limitations are up on calling the offices at LSU to find Jimbo Fisher.
Right. Yeah. Nobody cares anymore. So we went to a friend of ours' wedding, right? So we got there on like Friday. We're having a good time. We went to the rehearsal dinner and all that. We're not in the wedding. We're just there, right? Having a good time, drinking, enjoying ourselves. So Saturday, we're sitting by the pool at our hotel with another friend of ours and his wife. We're having some beers and just watching. We're sitting by the pool and like, I really don't want to get dressed up and go to this wedding. I'd rather just, we can go to the reception, but I do not want to be in that church for however long. And his wife just says, well, let's just not go. And we're like, yeah, you're right. You're right. So we don't go. So we just show up at the reception. And our friend, who's the groom, was like, I didn't see y'all at the church. We're like, oh, we got there a little late. We were in the back.
Oh, God.
We were there, though. Nope, we weren't there.
I actually did tell my mom that a few times when I missed church.
Oh, you were
telling. Yeah, I was sitting in the cry room back there.
In the cry. All right. Alexandra Watson asked, how do you think astronauts get paid? Salary alone, or do they get a bonus for going into outer space? Austin, do you think their life insurance payout is double if killed during a mission? I bet life insurance rates on an astronaut are no pun intended, astronomical. I bet they're really high.
I'm going to guess they get paid really well.
They probably have a salary, but if they get chosen for a mission that goes into space, there probably is a bonus for that.
Yeah, because it's a very risky thing.
I'm sure they're mid six figures, and they probably get like a six figure bonus for going up as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that would.
How much do you get paid if you're on the space station? You got to live on the space station for a couple years. You got to get some money involved in that.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, you can't just like entice somebody to do that and pay them like $60,000 a year. You know.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, here's where I learned that the Hale State debate team won the national championship. We will have representatives of the Hale State debate team on Thunder and Lightning. I'm supposed to interview them on Thursday, so look for that Friday on the timeline.
That's our rule.
I told them I reached out to them. I was like, when you come to they're coming to the studio. I said, bring a topic to debate, and I will debate the Hale State debate team. And the
That'd
guy
be
was
fun. Like, we had the irrigation troubleshooting team.
Had them last year. So then he's like, all right, no problem. I'll give you the same 30 minutes of prep that we give everybody else. That's the rules, right? They give you a topic. You have 30 minutes to research, and then you go. I say, no, it'll be funnier if I have no prep whatsoever. So I'm going to debate cold. I'm going to go in no knowledge of what I'm talking about. I can't wait to break out Webster's Dictionary defines whatever the topic is.
I choose business ethics.
The industrial, that was a revolution. Yeah, so whatever it is. The puppy who lost his way.
His way.
All right. Hold on a second. Let me make sure. Parker Thomas, what is the message board I hear y'all talk about? Like a 24/7 or on 3 thing, and does it cost to join? Is this a troll? We being trolled here? Is this a real question?
Parker,
what's that?
Are you from 1985?
What year is it? Parker, I'm just going to assume this is a troll, Parker. Sheldon Nations asked.
It is at On3, though.
It is.
And no, it's not free to join.
But it is free to join, but to post, you have to pay, right?
No, it's not free to join.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't read without joining.
I got you. Sheldon Nations, if you had to get someone's face tattooed on your back, born after 1994, who would it be? Can't pick one of your kids. Born after 1994, tattooed on my back. Can I have a Dak back? Dak Prescott's face on my back?
Dak!
I would be very popular, I think.
We love you, Dak!
We can have somebody totally random. Like, you know, like, are you a big Olivia Rodrigo fan? No. No, you just got to
put Olivia Rodrigo. You'd be really popular with your daughters, probably.
I think
you were cool.
Emily is not a big Rodrigo fan. She is Taylor Swift or bust.
And that's a rivalry. I've talked to, you know, Grace Ibarra is a big Swifty.
Yeah.
And she's not a huge fan of She said she likes a couple songs. So I think it's a sore subject with the Swifties.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see.
And you know, Taylor Swift you couldn't do because she's like my age. So she was born before 94. She was born in 89,
right? Yeah.
Yep.
Famous people. Let's Google it. Famous people born after 1994.
Well, you can get a bunch.
Let's see what we got here. I don't know who any of these people are. This isn't good. Hold on. We're moving forward here. Celebrities born in 1994. Let's just go with that. Justin Bieber. Bad Bunny. I could do Bad Bunny. Who are these people?
Who else is it?
It's a bunch of like Instagram and YouTube stars. I don't know who these people are. Like, are these Giannis? I could get Giannis.
You could.
What year was Anthony Davis born?
He was in college in 2012. His freshman year is 2012.
Oh, I might be good here.
So he might have been 94.
He was born 1993. Dang.
I could have got
AD. I could have had the brow.
Oh yeah, just do his eyebrow, just the brow, the unibrow.
Yeah. Who plays for the Saints? What year was Kamara born? Alvin Kamara, born in 95. There it is. I'm getting Alvin Kamara. There it is. All right. And you can get Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, yeah. Put him around like my nipples. Let's put his face in the middle. Like my nipples will be his eyeballs.
That's not even fake. It's the real Connerly. Oh, my God.
I want to get Steve-O on my back like he did.
There you go. Just get yourself. But you're not born after 94 is the problem.
Me doing a thumbs up?
Yeah. Yes. All right. Jason, I think you asked this question last week about Ospreay versus Danielson. Didn't he ask that? Yeah, he asked these first two questions.
Yes.
So we'll just ask you to answer his third one. Even if State hosts, how far do you think they go? Bless you. If they host, they could go to the Super Regional.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily.
I'll go with that. Jeffrey Chancellor asks, if birds aren't real, who was controlling Auburn's Eagle in 2011 when it flew into the glass of the upper deck suite? I don't know, but they sneezed at that exact moment.
Well, here's the thing. It could have very easily flown into the upper deck. Because it was not real, like a short circuited or the person controlling it with the remote control lost service or something. Could have very easily happened that way.
Yeah. Let's see here. Also, I think from Jeffrey here. Yes. Rank these non-Big Three sports movies. 10 Cup, Happy Gilmore, Cool Runnings, Cinderella Man, The Mighty Ducks. Happy Gilmore's one, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're probably, your generation, you're probably a bigger Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Yep.
Okay, I can live with that.
And Cinderella Man.
Cinderella Man.
Cool Runnings. I love
Cool Runnings. And 10 Cup. It's just, I'm not a huge 10 Cup guy. Andrew Norwood.
Why is Haley Joel Osment trending right now?
Did he die?
I always get scared when I.
That's what I always worry about, yeah.
Why is it under music?
Oh, it's also trending with Joel Osteen, so I'm going to assume there's been a mistaken identity here.
Oh, I think it was Kendrick Lamar.
Uh-huh.
Wrote a diss track.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't read all this because there's some explicits in here, but
okay.
This tweet says he mistook Haley Joel Osment for Joel Osteen.
Oh, that's rough. That's rough. All right.
He mentioned, am I battling ghost or AI? The word I'm not going to repeat, feeling like Joel Osteen. Osteen. Funny, he was in a film called AI and my sixth sense telling me to off him.
Okay, then. Got that messed up there, Kendrick. Andrew Norwood has a question that's more for you than for me. Leicester City are back in the Premiership after a one-year hiatus. Where do the Foxes end up next season? Fighting for European slots, mid-table, or fighting relegation again?
Yes.
Okay. I think they're a mid-table team. I was really surprised when they got relegated last year. Leicester has been a good team. They obviously won the title in 2016. So I think they'll be back in the mid-table. They're a good team. Mangum Cafe, what is the best appetizer, entree, drink, and dessert at Sonic?
Ooh. And I've been thinking about Sonic ever since the other day. I can't stop thinking about it.
I've got Oreo Cheesecake Blast on my head. It may happen today. I haven't decided yet. The best appetizer is cheddar peppers, in my opinion.
I love the mozzarella sticks.
Very good. The best entree is the Supersonic Double Cheeseburger. With bacon.
Yes.
Okay. The best drink, a Route 44 grape slush. With nerds. I want nerds in there.
Mine's strawberry slush or a cherry limeade.
Okay. The best dessert is, we have just discovered it, the Oreo Cheesecake Sonic Blast is the best one.
It's going to be really difficult to beat that because the Oreo Sonic Blast was already my favorite blast.
Yeah, and then they added
now cheese. You've taken a scoop of cheesecake and dumped it on top.
Yeah, it's
number one.
All right. Robbie, did you snag Hardy tickets? You already said the answer is yes.
I got those before they even went on sale to the public because I got a pre-sale code.
You know people is what you're trying to say.
Not really. I just signed up for updates like that a long time
ago.
You
could have looked like a better person there, but you screwed it up.
I told you I'm not a liar.
I guess. What's been your favorite show at Rick's? So, like, I've seen some good bands at Rick's. You know, I've seen some national acts. But for me, like, I just want to go and, like, listen. When I go to Rick's, I want to go see, like, U.S. or Splendid Chaos rocking the covers. That's what I want at Rick's.
The Molly Ringwalds.
Oh, God, if I can get the Molly Ringwalds. I saw Zoso there once. You ever seen them?
I've never seen them, but I've heard of them. That's the Led Zeppelin.
They are incredible. I mean, just like them. They look like them and sound like them. It's incredible.
It's either Snoop Dogg or Eric Church for me.
I guess you're a little young. Sunvolt came there one time. They put on a great show.
Yeah, I also saw
Cowboy Mouse.
Yeah, you know, Sister Hazel was always good there. But it's the Snoop Dogg concert was wild. I mean, it was just
like 10 minutes, didn't he?
He came out there at like midnight,
mm-hmm.
and he performed like five songs, maybe, and left.
That's all you need. You're good.
But he came out there in a state jersey. It was just, I didn't care if he performed anything, honestly. I mean, I like a couple of his songs, but just seeing Snoop Dogg stand up there in a Mississippi State jersey.
Yeah.
And the crowd just absolute chaos. It was awesome.
Yeah. Let's see here. Frank Dukes, former Kumite champion, has Tony Khan resurrected kayfabe? Khan on the NFL draft wearing a neck brace is maybe the greatest moment in professional wrestling history. It is so good.
Well, that's what we said we hoped to see.
We saw it.
I didn't know if he'd actually do it.
He did it. And then he also called out WWE, called them the Harvey Weinstein organization. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
He's dropping bombs on him. I thought it was great. Do you believe the bigger wrestling podcasts are paid to openly crap on AEW? Bischoff, Cornette, and Bully Ray. I get that it's been a little stale, but they make it sound like it's the worst promotion ever. What say you? I just don't think those guys – I think those guys – Bully Ray is loyal to WWE. He just is. So I think that's part of it. But Bischoff, I don't know what the deal is with Bischoff. You would think he would be, like, all in favor of a new
I think he's a little jealous.
He might be. He was on an episode of AEW.
Yeah.
Like
I think it's – I think with him, it's a – you know, it's a little bit of jealousy because they're the secondary place that's trying to compete with – and he wants to always be known as the one that went head to head with.
And if he had Tony Khan's bankroll, he might have done better. But
yeah. Now, Bully Ray and Cornette are more purist.
Old school guys. They don't like what's happening with the wrestling.
I just don't think that they like the storylines, and it's just the wrestling that they do too is more like new age, like the Ospreay stuff is acrobatics. It's right. It looks staged a little bit, which I enjoy that a little bit, but it's not the old school, like working on a limb thing. Yeah. And I think these are people that just, they came up in WWF. They had committees that would work with the talent. And also they would have booking committees that book the storylines and stuff. This is just Tony Khan basically running the whole thing. And they don't like that. And he's also an outsider. He's not a wrestling guy, he's a fan, so they've always looked down on him because he's a quote-unquote mark. He's not really a guy that's been in this business, that's worked his way up, but he just got in it by paying a bunch of money. And so I think that's pretty much what that is. And I don't know if he'll ever win guys like that over.
I agree. Reed Green: now that we have seen how the series played out, do you think, even with the blown lead, that pitching Sanjay, or I can never say it right, Durangelo, ultimately helped win the series for State? Sure. Since he was able to keep Vanderbilt's offense at bay for about half the game. I mean, you could say that, but Auger did the same thing on Saturday.
Yeah. So I think this was the right decision.
It played out. It worked. Goes back to what we were saying earlier about Lemonis, right? Remember how it seemed like every decision he made was the correct one. Then for 2 years, it's like everything he did backfired. He made a decision this past weekend, and it worked perfectly.
Yeah. I thought that it was a genius idea by Lemonis. And in the middle of the game, I even told my buddies in a group text, this was a genius move for Mississippi State to go with St. Joe on Sunday. They were up 6-0. He struck out 10 batters in the first 5 innings.
Yeah.
They were going up against basically the bullpen for Vandy. They didn't have a head-to-head matchup with a guy that was a potential ace.
Yeah.
It almost worked out perfectly because Saturday you stole that game. You weren't supposed to win that game on paper.
Right.
Because they were pitching their best guy. You were pitching Auger. It was supposed to be a bullpen game. I thought it was an excellent decision on Lemonis' part. Mm. It's just weird how everything worked out. You didn't have a good game on Friday night, which is usually your best game of the weekend. And I didn't think it was all Cal Stevens' fault because he only gave up, you know, 3 runs for the first 6 innings or whatever it was. But you didn't get it done then. And then Saturday, that was supposed to be kind of your throwaway game. And then Sunday, it looked like it was working, and then it all got evened up late in the game. So I don't know if any of that really mattered at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, I think Brooks Auger pitching the way that he did was the biggest impact of the weekend.
Agreed. Rank these movies' opening scenes: The Dark Knight, The First Star Wars, Saving Private Ryan, Scream, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Saving Private Ryan is probably number one. That's an incredible – I mean
– I honestly don't remember most of the first scenes in these. Oh,
okay. Well, then I can do it.
The first Star Wars, like the first movie, like 1970 –
yeah.
What was it, 6 or 70?
77.
77.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay. Those. I can do it. I can do it. Don't worry. I'm going to go Saving Private Ryan, The Dark Knight, Star Wars, Lost Ark, Scream. That's my rankings.
Okay.
I'm going to go. They're all good, though. Hunter Boulware, it's finals week for me. What is one test in the past that you did good on that you thought you did bad on, and then one test you did bad on that you thought you did good on? I don't remember the bad that I thought I did good. Normally, if I did bad, I knew it.
I don't remember a single test I've ever taken in my entire life.
I only remember one, and I'll tell you the story. I think I've told it on this show, but So my first semester of my freshman year, I did terribly, right? I didn't go to class. I was just a bad student, right? And so going into spring semester freshman year, I'm like, all right, you got to do better. You know you're better than this. You got to do better, right? First test of the semester was in American history. I studied really hard. I thought I did well on the test, right? So it was a Scantron test, right? It's all multiple choice. So the next class, teacher's handing out the test, and she hands me mine, and it says I got like a 42. And I'm just looking at it, and I just say, okay, all right, Brian, maybe college isn't, you're just not cut out for this. So when we get back, we'll go back to the dorm after this class, call your mom, tell her, look, I think I need to come home, maybe go to community college for a semester, or maybe, you know, think about going and trying to find a job, do whatever, right? And at that moment, somebody behind me goes, hey, this isn't mine. And I look, and the name on it wasn't mine.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, this isn't mine either. And so she's like, oh, okay. So she hands me mine. I got like a 98. I was like, all right, you can stay in college, Brian. You're okay.
The teacher said that?
No, I said that to myself.
You were saying that to yourself?
Yes. Yes. I was going to go back to my dorm room and just tell my mom, hey, I'm coming home. I'm clearly not cut out for this.
I remember a test that I took.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a class. It was intro to mass media or something.
Mm.
I can't remember, but I studied hard for this test, and I felt like I was pretty good at like the communication classes because it was things that I liked.
Yeah.
And I got my test back, and I made like a 50.
Ooh.
And I was like, this isn't right. I know for a fact that I did not bomb this test. I feel like I did a pretty good job on it, actually. And it was actually like our exam. Like it was the,
mm-hmm.
I think it was like the last test that we took. And so I contacted the professor, and he was like really rude about it, like super rude. Like, no, I'm not. I was like, hey, can we double check this? Because I don't think this is correct. I think something's wrong here. And he was like, nope, it's final. And I was like, this is ridiculous. So I went to the dean of students. I went to the head of communications. I was like, "This, I don't think this is correct. I think that this was graded wrong or something." I got an email like 2 weeks later. He was like, "Yeah, we made a mistake on it. You actually made like a 95. Like,
there you go.
Oh, just 40 points difference. It was the difference in me failing the class and having like a B or something crazy." That still doesn't sit well with me today. He was like so like was pushing me away about it, and like my like me passing the class was on the line pretty much. But I'm not bitter or anything about it.
I hear you. Where are we? Tyler Nelson. He had a question last week where he asked us like five questions, and so he was able to make it consolidated here.
There we go.
NIL, unlimited transfers, et cetera. Do you feel the college football landscape is causing more people to give up on the sport? I currently don't care about college football at all, and I couldn't have imagined that 5 years ago. Tyler, you're an outlier. The ratings for college football have never been higher. Attendance was up last year. There's more interest in college football everywhere.
Attendance may be going down a little bit, but
it wasn't last year. Maybe it wasn't state because the team was terrible, but by and large.
Well, I don't know. Do we know that? I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers.
Yeah, college football attendance was up last year, and the ratings were way up.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Well, trust me, I hear Michael Borky talk about it all the time. All right, last one here from Stephen Prysock, who asked, do you think we will see any field time for Asher Morgan this season, or do you think his time will come a year down the line? He's 6'4" and 225, only a sophomore. P.S. first-time Rumbler. Robbie, my first question would be, what sport does Asher Morgan play, and who is he?
I'm positive that he is a quarterback, I think, from Philadelphia. Yes. He played at Philadelphia High. He was a Tornado.
Okay. The answer to your question, Stephen, is no. If he plays, State is either losing by 40 or winning by 40. I would put it that way. Because he is at best the fourth string guy. He's probably fifth, right? I would think Jake Weir is the fourth string guy.
I'm not sure.
Been here for what, three years now. He's got to be fourth string. So I mean the depth chart would be Chapin, Parson, Van Buren, Weir, and then maybe Asher Morgan. Dick Sutton might be ahead of him too. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention at the spring game to know where they all.
Yeah. Oh, once the second half started and I realized Chapin wasn't going to play anymore, I couldn't tell you anything that happened in the second half. Nothing.
The Governor's Cup has been pushed to ESPN2
and to 6:30.
Interesting.
Very late night for me on Wednesday. So, but I'll be there. I'll be at the Governor's Cup there, Sports Talk Mississippi, doing a live show, and then Thunder and Lightning will be live. So half of the game will be live during that on Wednesday. So hope to see you there at Trustmark Park. If you do, please come by. Please come say hello. And yeah, there we go. All right, guys, have a great Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. Want to thank again Super Superior Catfish for sponsoring the Rumblings. They'll be doing that going forward. Until tomorrow, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.